through 44. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father. They said unto him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof.
Thank you, Terry. I hope each of us understand what was just said there. Jesus himself called Satan the father of liar. He's the father of all liars. We need to understand that. It's a sobering thing to understand what was just said. You know, from the time that we arise in the morning to the time we go to sleep, we should recall that verse. That he is around devouring like a lion. He roars like a lion. He's devouring man. And that's what his whole purpose is. And as God's children, we need to understand this and armor ourselves as much as we can. It's a real sobering thing to see what Jesus just said there. And that being said, it has been quite some time since I have stood before the brethren to give a short lesson or an invitation. So please bear with me. With that being said, my goal tonight is to make this invitation short, but to the point. I humbly ask that you will consider what is going to be presented here, and I hope that what is being presented here will prick someone's heart or reinforce what they already know to be true and that they hold fast to this day. You know, an invitation is a serious, solemn, necessary, and helpful occasion in our gatherings each week. It is an appropriate time for all of us to reflect on our lives in order to determine whether or not we are walking in the light, completely obeying God's word. Most of the brethren here will use the time wisely and reflect on whether or not they are following God's word completely. But tragically, some of us will reflect on our lives and try to justify ourselves according to the lies and theories that have been created by Satan. There may be some in our audience tonight that believe that just being a good person and believing in God is all that is required for salvation. Some may believe that God is a loving God who won't send good people to hell. Some may also believe that it is impossible or unrealistic to follow the Bible and that God can't hold us accountable for the things we do not know. Maybe someone here is not sure that there really is a God. I ask you to please understand this. Satan is the father of all lies, John 8, verse 44. He is a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He wants you to believe you are going to heaven by deceiving you with these lies. The Bible warns us not to be deceived in this life so that we may go to heaven, Matthew 24, 4 and James 1, 22. I ask you to take a look around you. Gaze upon the glorious mountains, the great oceans, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the shining stars, the blazing sun, and yes, mankind. Notice the design and harmony that exists in our world. Now ask yourself two questions, if you would. Is this the evidence of a creator? Or did this come about by a collision of matter? My friends, if you believe that this world came to be by a collision of matter, you have been deceived by one of Satan's many lies. This is a prime example of how Satan works. I would like to shed some light on what a collision of matter looks like. Picture me holding two eggs and then crushing them together, and then picture the destruction of those eggs on a table. A collision cannot create, my friends. It can only destroy. Now picture two automobiles hitting head-on. Again, the result is destruction, not creation. The truth is that no man can explain how destruction can create life that has a specific design and harmony. Through this example of deceit, I hope you see how clever Satan really is. Satan has deceived many people with this very lie. Satan is real, my friend. In case you did not know, he hates us and wants us to suffer eternally with him. He knows that God loves us and wants to bring us to glory with him in heaven, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, John 3, 16, and 1 Timothy 2, 4. You might have heard the old expression, 1 second in hell would convert anyone. Sadly, my friends, we do not have the luxury of experience the true horror of hell to set us straight. God is not going to give us that experience while on this earth to help motivate us to obey his word. From the beginning of time, God has given man the choice to obey him or not to obey him. If we choose not to obey him here on this earth, he will send us to hell forever, and that's found in Revelation 20 and verse 15. My friends, as harsh as this might sound, my friends, it is the truth. It is the truth. Did you know that Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan's lies? The consequences for being deceived were so great that all of mankind died spiritually and will stay in that state forever unless they use the time left on earth to obey him. And I ask humbly tonight, don't base your salvation and theories on lies. Rely on the Creator's plan that has the power to save you. God did not have to save us from our sins, but he did so because he loves us and wants us to be with him in heaven. Our God has offered us everlasting life if we obey him. It is written that we show our love to God by keeping his commandments. The price for not obeying God is everlasting separation, death, torture, and pain. I've heard many people who have been deceived by Satan say that God is pleased with them, and they base this on, now, this is what they base it on, that no bad things have happened to them in their lives. They feel that they are being blessed because they have wealth, they have great health, and they have good families. I would like to say to anyone who might reason this way that our God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5, verse 45. I humbly ask you that you study the scripture and understand its meaning. It is written that true blessings are only given to those who have obeyed God's word. What are these true blessings? The fellowship with the Father that we lost in the garden, Genesis 3, 24. We have the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, verse 7. We have everlasting life, Romans 6, 23. God has promised us that Satan will flee from us if we resist him, James 4, verse 7. God hears our prayers, John 9, verse 31. God protects us, Psalms 5, 11, and 12, and Psalms 29, 11. God strengthens us through his word, Ephesians 3, 16. And there's so much more to add to that, so much more. Now consider being outside of Christ, not obeying God's word. You do not have any of these blessings, my friend, none. Outside of Christ, you cannot overcome sin. God will not hear your prayers. God will not forgive your sins, and you have no hope of heaven. My friends, harsh as it sounds, this is God's teaching, not man's. This is God's. Now you might be asking yourself, how can I come to Christ and receive these blessings? Well, you need to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. How do you obtain this faith? Did you know that faith comes by hearing God's word? Romans 1, 16 and 10, 17. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark 16, 16, John 5 and verse 24. We need to confess by our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10 and verse 32. And we need to repent and turn from those things that are contrary to God's will. Acts 3:19, 17 and 30, and Luke 13 and 3. We need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. And finally, we need to be faithful until death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We humbly ask you tonight, if you are outside of Christ, don't keep putting it off. Make the choice tonight to follow Christ. This will be the wisest decision that you have ever made. Now, if you are a child of God and you have overcome Satan's many lies, I ask you humbly tonight, don't stop running the race. Our beloved Paul said to fight the good fight and to run that race to the end. Then and only then will we win the crown of life, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Jesus spoke a parable that you all recall, and it was of the 10 virgins. And you all recall, that's to prepare us for His coming. Don't be unprepared like those 5 virgins were. Those that are in the faith here, I humbly ask you, stay faithful. Continue to run the race from the time you awake to the time you go to bed. Excuse me. I think I took a chapter out of Mick there. Sometimes you got to come up here and hit yourself a couple times. And you know, when you study God's Word, and some of it impacts you in your life. Sorry, I apologize. We also need to fully understand and follow the example of Abraham. He considered himself a sojourner on this earth. He put his faith and trust in God, and he was obedient to God. We also are told not to lay roots down here on earth and not to lay up treasures here on earth that are corruptible, Matthew 6 and 19. The Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, we are commanded to lay up treasures that are incorruptible, Matthew 6 and verse 20. Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God to show his love and obedience. Do you see that the faith was working together with his works, and this together is what actually pleased God? James 2 and verse 22. We also need to live pure and holy lives because God is holy, 1 Peter 1:15. We can do this by meditating on God's word as often as possible from the time we wake to the time we sleep. Are God's commands too hard to follow? Is it too hard to be a Christian? Is it? Early church history tells us of the Christians who were beheaded. They were burned and used as torches to light ceremonies. They were stoned to death and feared for their lives just for being a Christian. Some people today think it is too hard to be obedient to God. To those people, I say shame on you. Compared to what the early Christians suffered, our Christian struggles today are of no comparison. Today we do not fear for our lives because we are called Christians. We live comfortable lives. We have plenty of food. We live in well-structured homes. We have cars to get us where we need to go, and so much more the Lord has blessed us with. So let's roll up our sleeves and gird up the loins of our minds and do the works of the Lord before it is everlasting too late. In closing, I would like you to consider the following, and then the invitation will be yours. When Jesus comes, will you be watching for his appearing with lamps trimmed and bright? When Jesus comes, will you honestly be able to say, Lord, I have given my best? When Jesus comes and he calls us one by one and our talents are before him, will you hear him say, well done? When Jesus comes, will you hear him say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant? If not, then I humbly ask you to consider the invitation, because it is written that man is not promised a tomorrow. Whatever the need may be, please come forward as together we stand and sing.
To follow Jesus, standing for the bride, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? reply. I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love? Leading others to him, lifting prayers above. Her faithful servant, in his word we see. On our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I.
Please be seated. Wanted to mention that was a good lesson, Ken. And Mickey has asked me several times at funerals to kick him in the ankle if he starts to where he can't go on anymore. But I've yet been able to bring myself to do that once.
The Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those that didn't have the opportunity this morning. Can I see the hands?